Our first scripture lesson this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 9. Listen for God's word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our second scripture reading this evening comes from John chapter 1. Listen again for God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is God's word for us this evening. This has been one of the shortest or fastest Advent seasons I can ever remember. Our theme this year has been the roots of our faith. In very short 3 weeks, over four Sundays, we have explored the story behind the story. The Bible passages in the book of Isaiah that inform the Christmas story in the New Testament. Along the way, with the shortening days, it has grown darker and darker outside. Christmas Eve is one of the darkest days of the year, but the shortest day and the longest night was December 21st. So 3 days later, we've only gained a whopping 18 seconds more of daylight. That means that we have experienced only 9 hours and 15 minutes of daylight today, which leaves us with over 14 hours of darkness. Not only has it been a short Advent, it's been a season full of short days and long nights. Maybe this is why our scripture lesson from Isaiah tonight resonates so deeply with us at Christmas time. Isaiah was writing to people who were walking in darkness, who lived in a land of deep darkness. Now, I have to admit to you, I'm one of those people that doesn't mind darkness, especially at night when I'm falling asleep. There are few things I like more than falling asleep in a pitch black room. No night lights, no street lamps, and no little red or green lights from charging electronics to distract me. Such darkness can be like a soothing blanket that quiets the mind and helps me relax. But this is not the kind of darkness that Isaiah was talking about in our scripture lesson. In the time of the prophet Isaiah, About 700 years before the birth of Christ, the people of Isaiah were walking and living in a darkness that was not soothing and was not relaxing. God seemed silent to them, and they were greatly distressed and hungry. But before our scripture passage today, Isaiah tells us that they saw only distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they were thrust into thick darkness. The people had metaphorically and literally lost their way. They had turned away from the God who loved them, and they had trusted in earthly powers to save them. Twice in our passage from Isaiah, he uses the word darkness, and once he describes it as deep darkness. The Hebrew word that translates deep darkness literally means death shadow. You probably know the phrase best if you've ever heard Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's more than simply the absence of light. It's frightening in a way that the night's darkness for sleep is not. It isn't so much a place as it is a state of being in which a person feels like death has taken such a strong hold in their lives that they are a shadow of themselves, that they no longer express the image of God in the person they were meant to be. Something has gone so horribly wrong in the life that they were living that they're walking in darkness, in a land of deep darkness, through the valley of the shadow of death. There are many in our world today who understand and live in the midst of such darkness as this. This kind of deep darkness surrounds all those who live under the shadow of poverty or oppression, violence or war. Others are overwhelmed by the dark shadows of grief and loneliness, doubt and despair. Some would say that we are not much different than the people in Isaiah's time. We too have lost our way, worshiping the false gods of power and wealth and celebrity, while too many people and the earth itself suffer from our lack of care. At times it is so dark that it is hard to see the image of God in ourselves, in one another, and the world around us. We live in a world sometimes that feels like the line from the carol, The First Noel, a cold winter's night that was so deep. In the midst of this deep, shadowy darkness, a birth announcement is sung. The prophet literally sings a new song. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, he says. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His kingdom shall be established with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. Many of us recognize those words from Handel's Messiah. Handel knew that this good news was supposed to be sung. It's a song of celebration. The birth of the baby named Emmanuel was the dawn of a new day, the restoration of a kingdom, the establishment of peace, the renewal of who Israel was meant to be, made in the image of God, called to be light to the nations. And this was all done because of the zeal of the Lord. God hated that his people lived in darkness. God was passionate about saving the people and restoring them to who they were created to be. God would not let darkness win. Only love wins in the world God creates. A great light was dawning and shining on the people once again. With this wondrous announcement in mind, John wrote the Christmas story in our gospel lesson tonight. It doesn't contain a heavenly host of angels singing to scared shepherds. There are no magi following a star and bearing gifts. There's no Mary or Joseph, no lowing cattle or humble manger. There's not even a baby Jesus. For John, Christmas begins all the way back at the beginning itself. In the beginning was the Word, John declares, sounding like the first words of creation. Then, like God saying, "Let there be light," in Genesis 1, John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." So that everyone who believes in Jesus should not remain in darkness. Light overcoming darkness. That is why we celebrate Christmas at this time of year, when the physical darkness reminds us of the spiritual darkness that robs us of the image of God in us. Light overcoming darkness. That is where Isaiah sings, "In the darkness," and announces the arrival of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us, who has come to save us from our sin and shine light on the land of God's creation once again. Light overcoming darkness. That is why Christmas comes after the longest night of the year. It signals that light emerges victorious once again. We can be different people. We can rise again from the shadow death places in which we find our lives. Addiction need not win. Despair and grief and doubt are not the final answer. Death never triumphs over life and or God's power to resurrect and restore and renew. So how then will we receive the light that Isaiah and John announces to us this night? How will we let it shine in the shadow places of our lives and be a part of God's light in the world? We have to begin, I think, by admitting the darkness in ourselves. Many centuries ago, a rabbi asked his students how they could tell when the night was past and the day was on its way back again. One student suggested, "When you see an animal in the distance and you can tell whether it's a sheep or a goat." Another said, "When you can see a tree in the distance and you can tell whether it's a fig tree or a peach tree." But the rabbi was not impressed with any of these answers. He finally told his students, "It is when you can look at the face of any human being and see the face of your brother or your sister. Because if you cannot do this," he said, "then no matter what time it is, for you, it is still night." Probably one of the best examples of what it might look like for us to live the light is the Christmas truce of 1914. During World War I, the war to end all wars, soldiers confronted each other on Christmas Eve, but instead of doing so with guns, they did it with song. A German soldier was heard singing "Silent Night" in German. British soldiers began to sing back in English. Soon both sides were singing, and an unofficial truce was declared as soldiers under white flags joined each other in no man's land. It is estimated that over 100,000 soldiers gathered together to exchange presents of cigarettes, plum puddings, and to sing carols and songs. They played soccer games together. They held funeral services together for their dead. They talked as if they were longtime friends. An English machine gunner, a hairdresser in his civilian life, even gave a German soldier a haircut. In that land of darkness, they celebrated Christmas together, and the light shone bright. When they returned to their respective sides, they first made sure that each side was safely in their trenches. But they also decided that they wouldn't fire on each other any longer. The enemy now had a face, and it looked like theirs. The troops had to be replaced on each side because they fired over each other's heads rather than at each other. So what would our lives look like for the light of Christ to be born in us tonight? How might we shine the light of Christ in a land of deep darkness where no one can see the image of God? Christ enters the lives of each of us to show us God's love, to save us from our sins, and to lead us in paths of righteousness and justice. You and I were made to reflect the image of God, to recognize it in one another, and to be beacons of light in this world God loves so much. So on this Christmas Eve, let me invite you to receive the light of Christ in your life for the first time or again. Accept it, embrace it, and then share it in whatever way you can. Resolve to reflect the light of Christ in the dark places that you see around you, amidst loneliness and despair, where doubt overwhelms faith, where poverty and violence, oppression and war rob people of who they were created to be. As Jesus says to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine that the dark shadow, the death shadow places may sing the good news with us this night and always. A child has been born. The light of the world has come. Amen.